This is the Poetry Magazine podcast. I'm Don Scher, editor of Poetry Magazine.
And I'm Lindsay Garbett, associate editor. On the Poetry Magazine podcast, we discuss a poem or two in the current issue.
Kayla Bray Candrilli is the author of What Runs Over, which was a finalist for the Lambda Literary Award in Transgender Poetry, and the forthcoming book, All the Gay Saints.
Like their first book, which was a memoir in verse, their poem in our June issue is intimately autobiographical. It's called My Partner Wants Me to Write Them a Poem About Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Suzanne Crow is very important to my partner. I mean, they have a deep obsession with Sheryl Crow. Like, this is the promise of a good day. This is how we wake up.
Candrilli says it's important for them to integrate the positive aspects of life and the trauma to find a balance in the work itself. What started as a love poem came to include memories of traveling together to Candrilli's childhood home, which had fallen into disrepair in rural Pennsylvania.
We were cleaning out this home that was almost to be demolished and had no means to order a dumpster, had no means to do anything proper with the waste, and were forced monetarily into a situation where we burnt it.
Amidst piles of discarded possessions, Candrilli didn't realize bullets had been thrown into the fire.
It's a terrible thing to watch. And when the bullets were discharging, you don't know that they're not traveling. I mean, the function of a gun is that the bullet travels. There's a hammer. So I didn't know until we got home physically that the bullets weren't traveling anywhere. They were just exploding.
Here's the poem.
My partner wants me to write them a poem about Sheryl Crow, but all I want to do is marry them on a beach that refuses to take itself too seriously. So much of our lives have been serious. Over time, I've learned that love is most astonishing when it persists after learning where we come from. When I bring my partner to my childhood home, it is all bullets and needles and trash bags held at arm's length. It is my estranged father's damp bed of cardboard and cigar boxes filled with gauze and tarnished spoons. It is hard to clean a home, but it is harder to clean the memory of it. When I was young, my father would light lavender candles and shoot up. Now, my partner and I light a fire that will burn all traces of the family that lived here. Black plastic smoke curdles up, and loose bullets discharge in the flames. My partner holds my hand as gunfire rings through the birch trees. Though this is almost beautiful, it is not. And if I'm being honest, my partner and I spend most of our times on earth feeding one another citrus fruits and enough strength to go on. Every morning, I pack them half a grapefruit and some sugar, and they tell me it's just sweet enough.
Obviously, the poem starts off with a focus on Sheryl Crow, but what's interesting to me is how Frostian the poem is up until the very end, which is rather different. But, you know, Robert Frost was an expert at writing about the drama of home, which was, home was a place he wrote about very darkly. And I think this narrative that's taking place in the poem is part of something that we learn about in poems like Frost's and now this poet's, which is kind of like, there are things you want to say about home, sort of aphoristically, but the details kind of are at odds with that. So in the heart of the poem, it says, it is hard to clean a home, but it is harder to clean the memory of it, something I can almost imagine Frost having done something with there. And what's interesting is that they're not really able to clean this home. Actually, it sort of creates a disastrous mess, you know, what seems like it will be sort of a final clearing and a process of sort of cleansing. It just doesn't turn out that way at all. And there's a kind of pent-up violence that literally explodes once they get going. And so the poem is having to veer back and forth between that desire to want to have a poem be kind of beautiful and filled with love, which this is, but having to contend with the reality that's always never far from those emotions.
What's fascinating to me is how this story of the cleanup is set up with the pair of lines that say, over time, I've learned that love is most astonishing when it persists after learning where we come from. And that statement is sort of multifaceted because it's not only talking about this physical place that they're going to go clean up. It's also about the memories that are hard to clean as well and the sort of relationships that we come from. So the poem, in a very short amount of time, paints a partial picture of what the home relationships were like. The father would light a candle and then shoot up is sort of mirrored by the next line, which is that now my partner and I light a fire that will burn all traces of the family that lived here. So there's the small fire of the candle and the big fire of the burning trash. And so the fact that love is most astonishing when it persists after learning what relationships we've been through, what messes we've made and which messes we've cleaned up, all of those kinds of things is something that, you know, we kind of close this cleanup scene with the sentence, though this is almost beautiful, it is not. So that love kind of takes us through these unbeautiful experiences, but they're enough. So this, the work that that almost does and the work that enough does at the end of the poem to kind of say, nothing is purely beautiful or nothing is purely sweet, but they might be sweet enough or they might be almost beautiful, and that counts for something.
You can read My Partner Wants Me to Write Them a Poem About Sheryl Crow by Caleb Ray Candrilli in the June 2019 issue of Poetry Magazine or online at poetrymagazine.org.
We'll have another episode for you next week where you can get all June episodes all at once in the full-length podcast on SoundCloud. Let us know what you thought of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org and please link to the podcast on social media.
The Poetry Magazine podcast is recorded by Ed Herman and produced by Rachel James.
The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. I'm Lindsay Garbutt.
And I'm Don Scher. Thanks for listening.